This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work. WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. We know. Political ads and information are everywhere. But in addition to the flyers for judges and picks for Chicago's school board, Chicagoans across the city are getting glossy campaign-style mailers about their alders. Alders who, get this, aren't even up for re-election. And the messages on these unsigned mailers? Well, they're about alders' perceived support or critique of an ordinance that's not even on this year's ballot. So who is behind these mailers, and why are people sending them now? WTTW political reporter Heather Sharon joined us from City Hall yesterday and began by reading some of the mailers. Quote, Alderman Manah Hoppenworth puts special interests before our community. End quote. Here's another one. Quote, thank you, Alderman Spezzato, for supporting workers and Chicago residents. End quote. I wanted to know, what is this all about? Here's Heather.
Well, it's about an ordinance that has been pending for many months and hasn't even come up for a hearing, much less a vote, that would essentially ban new construction in Chicago from having natural gas hookups to power appliances like stoves and cooktops and washing machines and dryers. And this is designed to help reduce carbon emissions, right? And to fight climate change and essentially to change sort of the biggest source of emissions in Chicago, which is comes from buildings. But this is very controversial and it's opposed not only by People's Gas and other gas companies that serve Northern Illinois, but it's also opposed by several unions whose members sort of perform this work when a new house is built or when a new apartment complex is created. So there's been lots of controversy, and it seemed, at least as far as I knew, that it was, you know, not anything to worry about until these mailers started popping up in people's mailboxes across the city.
I gave a brief overview there, but tell us where in the city people are receiving these mailers and why certain alders are being singled out here.
Well, as best we can tell, people have got them all over the city, from the far Ninth Ward on the far south side to the far northwest side. And it really sort of is designed to encourage people to call their alderperson and either thank them for opposing this ordinance, which supporters like to call CABO, the Clean and Affordable Buildings Ordinance, or to sort of call them up and yell at them and say, hey, why are you doing this? The problem, I think, with these mailers is that, as you said, they're unsigned. So when they started hitting people's mailboxes, there was a lot of consternation about where they came from. And we don't really know sort of who paid for the whole cost, which was probably tens of thousands of dollars. But we do know that Local 150, the operating engineers union, paid for at least a portion of this mailer. Now, it's not illegal that they didn't have sort of that paid for by, because as you said, alder people aren't up for re-election until 2027. And state law says that if you're not sort of mentioning somebody who's not up for re-election within a calendar year, you don't have to say who's paying for it.
Interesting.
Is that a pretty big loophole, sure. And, you know, Chicagoans, we're always on the lookout for sort of, you know, scams or skullduggery when it comes to this sort of thing.
So even though this seems sketchy, I mean, that part of it, as you said, is legal. Their phone numbers, the elders' phone numbers were also listed on these flyers. Is that right, Heather?
It is. And that is a pretty, you know, sort of tried and true technique, because nothing can sort of make an older person either happier or more concerned than to get a flood of calls from angry constituents sort of asking them, you know, why they are on this issue. The other issue with these mailers is that supporters of the ordinance, including Alderman Maria Haddon, says that the facts are misleading, if not completely wrong. And, you know, supporters of this ordinance say that sort of moving to electric appliances and eliminating natural gas hookups will actually save people money in the long run, because it's cheaper to sort of pay ComEd for electricity rather than to pay people's gas for gas.
Yeah. And I know you and your colleague, Nick Blumberg, did some digging here to find out that information. Tell us more. I know you found that the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 150, in part bankrolled their mailers. What are their concerns exactly?
Well, they're concerned that if you're not building buildings that have natural gas hookups, their members will lose jobs. And this will really sort of change the entire building industry. And, you know, it's whenever you have a change like this, of this magnitude, which I should say is in place in other cities across the nation, and there's been no evidence of sort of like wholesale, you know, layoffs or any sort of like economic damage, people get worried about it.
Yeah.
And that's sort of where this is coming from.
Yeah. The timing was the big question when we first heard about it, because this ordinance isn't even in front of Chicago City Council. So why now?
Well, it's a good question, and we didn't really get a good answer to it. And I think that that was something that other people were really frustrated by, because it made it seem like people on the ballot that, you know, we're all about to vote for would have some sort of say whether this ordinance passes or fails. And that's just simply not true.
Yeah.
The earliest that this could come up for a vote is likely January. And it's not clear why the people behind these mailers thought this was the time to sort of put pressure on older people when this ordinance is still in, you know, what I like to refer to as legislative purgatory. It's not clear that there are 26 votes to sort of get it to a committee hearing and a committee vote.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I think, a strange use of resources, especially at a time where the impact of climate change is becoming more and more apparent. And I think that, you know, we've seen pretty consistent demands from Chicagoans that the city do more to sort of make the city more resilient to those changes.
So, as you mentioned, one of the goals of the proposal is to fight climate change by moving away from natural gas hookups in new construction. Now, as we're having this conversation, Central Florida is bracing for Milton, right? That's a hurricane that's fluctuating right now between Category 4 and 5. Now, on Monday morning, while giving an update, veteran Florida meteorologist John Morales actually choked up on air. This is when he was discussing how severe this storm could be. Let's listen.
Just an incredible, incredible, incredible hurricane. It has dropped. It has dropped 50 millibars in 10 hours. I apologize. This is just horrific.
Wow. That he later posted on social media, quote, "Extreme weather driven by global warming has changed me. Frankly, you should be shaken too," end quote. Heather, how do advocates say this proposal would address climate change?
Well, if you reduce the amount of carbon released into the atmosphere, essentially you reduce that warming trend. You reduce greenhouse gases, and you essentially shift the power generation burden from burning natural gas, which is a fossil fuel, which emits sort of emissions, to electricity, which by and large is cleaner. Now, I think it's important to say that, of course, electricity can also be generated by burning fossil fuels. And for a long time, a lot of Chicago's electricity was generated by burning coal in power plants. That is no longer really the case. So if you sort of, you know, take for granted, as I think we most do, that we want to have light and water and heat in our homes, the goal then can't be to sort of eliminate that power, right? Knowing that it's going to come with a cost. But this is an effort by the city to sort of incentivize people to choose a cleaner option.
Yeah, on that note, Mayor Brandon Johnson supports the ordinance in question, saying it would mean lowering heating bills for Chicagoans. Here's a clip of Sarah Moskowitz of the Citizens Utility Board explaining why that board sees natural gas as more expensive and unreliable for customers.
Natural gas is an expensive commodity. It's very volatile. It's hard for homeowners or renters or anybody who has a gas bill to really plan for this. We're kind of subject to the vagaries of the market.
That was a conversation we had with Sarah earlier this year. Now, the Illinois Commerce Commission regulates utilities. In May, it unanimously approved a people's gas rate hike of $1.5 million. Why do advocates think moving from gas to electric would save people money?
Well, because essentially electricity sort of per, you know, however you want to measure it, per kilowatt hour, I'm a politics reporter, not an energy reporter, so I'm sure I'm going to get lots of angry calls about my imprecision here, and I apologize. But essentially, it's cheaper sort of, you know, for everyday Americans if they have sort of the right, you know, appliances. And it's important to say that this ordinance would not affect existing homes or businesses. So if you have a gas stove, and if you're like my husband who loves cooking on a gas stove, you get to keep your gas stove. But if you want to buy a new home or do sort of a very significant renovation, this ordinance would require those gas hookups to be removed.
But that point of affordability is disputed, right, Heather?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, it's one of those lies, damn lies and statistics sort of moments, because you can really sort of cut it in many different ways. And it's, you know, sort of that's where sort of the crux of this argument is going to come down to, because we've seen time and again, it's really not been enough for politicians and leaders to argue, hey, this will help the climate. They have often found themselves having to sort of combat concerns that it will be more expensive and perhaps less reliable going forward, because it gets really cold here in Chicago. Yeah. Most winters, some winters, I'm not sure.
All, Heather. Yeah. real quick, before I let you go, what's ahead for the clean and affordable buildings ordinance?
Well, this is on my to-do list for January. If it comes back up for a vote, there is no doubt that there will be a full court push from both sides of the issue to sort of get this through the city council. Whether that's at all a possibility, it's hard to know.
That's WTTW's Heather Sharone. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sasha.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic and edited by Dan Tucker. It was mixed by Ari Mejia. Reset brings context to breaking news. If you're interested in hearing more, you can check out our entire catalog of interviews at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again soon.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue, as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely